Hi, this is Jeff Curto, and welcome to episode number 35 of Camera Position, a podcast about the creative side of photography. Well, let's see, the first thing I'd like to talk about briefly on this episode of Camera Position is to ask anyone who is in within the sound of my voice who is in or near southwestern Vermont. I will be in Bennington, Vermont, this coming Saturday the 21st of October, at the Bennington Museum, and I'll be part of a panel discussion talking about the work of my graduate school mentor. I went to Bennington College for my Master of Fine Arts degree, and my mentor, Neil Rappaport, was the faculty member in photography there with whom I worked. Sadly, Neil is no longer with us, but there is an exhibition of his incredibly fine documentary photography there at the Bennington Museum. And what I'll be doing on Saturday the 21st at 2 p.m. from 2 to 4 is participating in a panel discussion with several of Neil's other former students, some of whom I know and some of whom I've never met. And so if any of you are in or near Bennington, Vermont, it would be a lot of fun to have some Camera Position listeners there at this event. So hopefully somebody will catch this and pick up on it. So again, the Bennington Museum in Bennington, Vermont, and it would certainly be interesting to have some Camera Position listeners or listener there. And actually, in a manner of speaking, this particular episode of Camera Position is apropos to that idea of learning and early influence, because I'd like to pick up on this idea of important photography books, or at least photography books that I have found important to me. And this actually may come as a surprise to some of you who have been regular listeners to Camera Position and know my interest to be predominantly in the sort of classic black and white photography genre. And yet, this photographer that I want to talk about in this episode of Camera Position and the book that I discovered him through were extraordinarily influential to me in my early years of photography and the early aspects of what it was that I was interested in. And I think that there are some interesting parallels that you can draw from this particular photographer. Some of you may be familiar with the work of Ralph Eugene Meatyard, is spelled kind of like it sounds, Meatyard, and pronounced, as far as I've ever known, Meatyard. And Meatyard was a fascinating photographer in a variety of different ways. He was an optician from Kentucky, a father and a regular working guy, and photographed on weekends and printed his pictures during his annual vacations. And yet, he produced during his short lifetime, and sadly he died at age 47, but produced during his short lifetime some remarkable photographs that are quite different in many ways from the photographs that we've been looking at on along here in Camera Position. And I was introduced to Meatyard by his seminal book, at least seminal for me, an Aperture monograph that was published in 1974. So this book was important to me when I started college in 1977 at Illinois Wesleyan University, where I earned my Bachelor of Fine Arts degree. And the instructors, the professors I had at Illinois Wesleyan University were quite adamant about getting us into the library and taking a look at things that were out there. And one of the very first things that I picked up as a young freshman photography student was Ralph Eugene Meatyard's 1974 Aperture monograph, and I was just floored. And I'll tell you why I was floored. It was because it was the first time that I had recognized that photography could be about something other than making a photograph of a thing or a person or a place, that the photograph, in fact, could be about idea. It could be about ideas that were larger than the photographer, ideas that were larger than the photographer's environment. And for those of you who are not familiar with Meatyard, I will place some of his images here in the podcast, enhanced podcast, but I'll also put some on the cameraposition.com blog. What I found really stunning about these pictures was that they were authored. They were not found objects. They were not sort of the kind of street photography or photography of social landscape that had been going on before MeetYurt had begun to make these kinds of pictures, but they were instead these very carefully constructed kinds of images. And for me, as I looked at them, I realized that these kinds of photographs were much more akin to performance, the idea of deliberately thinking through and conceptually idealizing this particular kind of subject matter. So what MeetYurt had done is he'd gone to the dime store and found funny masks and odd props and so forth, and included these pictures, in these pictures, these props, along with the subjects who were often his friends and children and his children's friends and so forth and so on, all kind of play acting for the camera. But the pictures really became this kind of idea of the dream state and the idea of story and the idea about the underlying notion of that a photograph could accomplish much the same thing that a poem could accomplish or that a piece of prose could accomplish. Telling a story, telling an idea, and putting us into a place that we'd never really thought of before. Now, those of you who have followed along with Camera Position for a while and know what my work looks like, you probably would be surprised to learn that in my late teen and early 20 years, I made a lot of photographs like these kinds of photographs. And I think that part of what I wanted to get at today in this episode of Camera Position is that these early influences end up coming back to you in a variety of different ways, and here's how, at least for me. I've already talked about the idea that when I saw these photographs, I began to recognize that photography could be more than just a record of something, and that there was this idea that you could convey story and concept and some of the things that I had long been interested in other ways, in writing and reading prose and poetry. Those things had been interesting to me all along in my young life. But the idea that you could do such a thing with a picture was really quite amazing to me. And it really began to let me know that photography was something that had a greater potential than just pointing your camera at something and making a record of what it is that it looked like in that particular situation from that particular point of view and in that particular type of light. And what I began to do was make photographs that were not unlike these kinds of pictures. But really, the idea of what ended up being part of this was that, in terms of my later photography, is recognizing that photography could be something that you did regardless of what else you did in your life. And the idea that MeetYurt was an optician, that he had a family, that he spent his weekends making photographs and spent his time in his professional life being an optometrist and working in a regular kind of a job, it suggested to me as I went along through my life that photography really became something that was just a part of who you are. And it isn't necessarily the thing that you do as a profession, though it might be. It might be a tangential part of your profession, but it ends up being something that is just a part of your makeup. And the idea that this guy could achieve remarkable notoriety, and his work was shown alongside the great masters of photography both during and after his lifetime, was really remarkable to me and continues to be so. And in fact, this is a book that I pull down from my bookshelf on a regular basis and take a look at. And the photographs are fresh to me still and still convey that sense of wonder and mystery and story and idea that that they always have. And I think one of the reasons that MeetYurt has been in my mind the last few days is that on Friday of this past week, I was at the Art Institute of Chicago. And I think one of the reasons that MeetYurt, And I think that one of the reasons that Meteyard has been on my mind of late, the last few days, is that on Friday of this past week, I was at the Art Institute of Chicago with a group of students, and there is an exhibition there called So the Story Goes, a fairly large exhibition that consists of work by photographers Tina Barney, Philip Lorca de Corcia, and Nan Golden and Sally Mann and Larry Sultan. And as I was standing looking at these photographs, photographs by contemporary photographers whose work depends upon their examination of their own personal lives, their own personal environments, I really thought about how Meteyard was a pioneer in many respects in that regard. The idea that his photographs were not taken from far afield. His photographs were not made of long-distance journeys and not made of wonderment of traveling far and wide. Instead, his photographs were taken close to home and used subjects that were familiar to him, his children, his ancestral home, and so forth and so on. Now, sadly, the monograph, the Aperture monograph that I have is out of print, but there are a number of more contemporary books that feature Meteyard's work. One of them published just fairly recently in 2005 with an essay by Guy Davenport, and I'll put a link to that on PhotoEye or Amazon on the cameraposition.com blog that is certainly something that you might be able to find quite easily. It is quite a large book, and it has 220 illustrations in it, so it's a fairly fairly comprehensive examination of Meteyard's work. But again, the idea that photography can be sustaining to you, it can be something that will be part of your life from the beginning of the time that you fall in love with it until the time that you can no longer make photographs or choose to no longer make photographs. But the other part is that photography doesn't necessarily have to be something that is complex. It doesn't necessarily have to be something that takes you far afield, that some of the great photographers like Meteyard and some of the other photographers who we'll look at over time made photographs close to home and made photographs of the things that they knew and understood and that mattered to them in their own personal lives. So keep that in mind when you go out and make photographs, or perhaps when you stay in and make photographs, and the idea that photography is something that can both be poetic and magical and filled with mystery, but does not have to be something that goes very far beyond where you are. And again, I was reminded of these things when I was looking at the work of Sally Mann, which I've long admired, and the idea that her pictures really are of nothing consequential, but do that thing that I think photography has always done for me, which is make a mountain out of a molehill. And where did I learn that? That idea from my mentor and friend, Neil Rappaport. And to bring this sort of odd and rather convoluted set of interwoven stories together, at some point in her life, Sally Mann was a student at Bennington College and studied photography with Neil Rappaport. And it's interesting to note that Neil's work was published in a book posthumously by his wife, Suzanne Rappaport. And the book is entitled Messages from a Small Town, because in fact, Neil's body of work was also made in and around where he lived, concentrating on the people and the places and the events that made a difference in his life and made a difference in his day-to-day existence, documenting the lives of ordinary people, and again, making that mountain out of a molehill. So hopefully you'll get a chance to look at the work of Ralph Eugene Meteyard if you are not familiar with it, and I'll put a couple of links to some useful Meteyard websites on the cameraposition.com blog. And also I'm hoping that some of you may be able to visit the Bennington Museum this coming Saturday, the 21st of October, 2006, and take a look for those of you who may be in that area. Although I know that the camera position listening audience is far flung out in various corners of the world, and Vermont is not necessarily a spot that there are lots of listeners, but hopefully we'll make that world a little bit smaller by talking about photography week by week on Camera Position, the podcast about the creative side of photography. Thanks for listening.
Photocastnetwork.com, your photography resource in the podosphere. Photocastnetwork.com.